Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journey series, interviews with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers. Today we continue our conversation with Lauren Winter. We're visiting with Lauren Winter, newfound friend, author of Girl Meets God, published by Algonquin, on the path to a spiritual life. Wonderful memoir that does such a nice job of weaving the Jewish tradition in which Lauren was raised, and that became kind of the dual wrestling she was doing in her life with faith and the rest of life. And then along comes this Jesus thing, this determined carpenter from Nazareth, who brings another element to the story. And you've been hearing that just layer upon layer, bit by bit, incremental movement towards a new understanding of who God is and who Jesus is. And there is an attraction there. There is the idea of the incarnation. There is God speaking through dreams. There's God speaking through a very popular but rather easily read Jan Caron stuff. There's a high school physics teacher. Lots of little pieces in this journey. What was the point at which you decided to kind of go public with yourself and with your life, that you were in fact, you had turned this corner and you were a follower of Jesus of Nazareth?
Well, that too was somewhat tentative and gradual process. During my last year in college, so after I'd spent these 10 days reading the Mitford novels, I began sort of poking in and out of churches, attended a sort of inquirer's class at an Episcopal church, mm-hmm. And then received a scholarship to study for 2 years in England.
Uh-huh.
And that was a real gift. I sort of initially thought that was going to be this great intellectual experience, which in many ways it was, but it proved principally to be a very remarkable spiritual time in my life, because what going to England provided me was 2 years sort of away from everyone I knew and
out of the fishbowl.
Yeah, away from communities that understood me as an observant Jew, where I could basically have my Christian, you know, babyhood, infanthood, without having to respond at every turn to Jewish friends or family. So it was when I moved to England that I was baptized and confirmed in the Anglican Church. And, you know, I just don't think I had the fortitude to actually do that in New York. I mean, there were plenty of churches I could have done it, but I just felt too much that I was under people's eyeballs.
Yeah. Well, and you get acquainted with Jo Bailey, one of the people to whom the book is dedicated, mm-hmm. and she's was very instrumental there at that church. Jo Bailey, a.k.a. Mary Poppins, according to Lauren Winter, showing the marks of popular culture on her life and brain. You are a former Jew who struggles with Messianic Judaism. And this whole issue of continuity, discontinuity between Judaism and Christianity, it's just an ongoing dialogue in your stuff. You were early on advised by a guy named Pastor Mike that you can't just divorce Judaism. And a guy you used to date, Steve, managed to get you to a Messianic service where you had a mixed experience, the positive being the rabbi's way of reading the text. But what is your relationship with Messianic Judaism?
Well, I really don't have one. I mean, I was never particularly drawn to the Messianic congregations. I'm glad that they're out there and glad that other people are finding their Christian and, I suppose, Jewish communities there. Part of the reason I think that I was not drawn was that I had a very clear pull towards Anglicanism.
Yes.
So that I did not spend a long time sort of denomination hopping.
Yes.
Just partially, I think, because I was in England. But I did, even as I was very committed to being in the Anglican Church, you know, was really very much beginning to wrestle with, well, am I still Jewish? And
yes.
And what does that Jewish inheritance mean to my Christian life? And it seemed like I should at least go visit a Messianic community to see if yeah. well, maybe I was wrong about the Anglican thing. So I it was a very emotional experience for me the first time I went to a Messianic congregation. That's the experience I describe in the book. Now, years later, the kind of heightened emotions have sort of dropped off a bit, I think, because yeah. I've realized, well, that's not my way, but it's great that there are Christians out there for whom it is.
If you had to summarize, and of course the whole book is an interaction with this, but if you had to summarize what you're learning about how your Jewish roots relate to your Christian faith as you're living it out and understanding it, what are the most important elements of connection?
Well, I think one element for me is that I hope that I can be a person who speaks to the church about Judaism, because I certainly feel that the church has a lot of work to do, not only in understanding, you know, the Jewish roots of the church, but also accounting for all the horrible things that Christians have done to Jewish communities in the last 2,000 years, horrible, very violent things in the name of, you know, the crucifixion. So that's one thing that feels real important to me. Also, I'm just real aware that, you know, Jews and Christians both are worshiping the God of Israel.
Yes.
And therefore, we have some things to learn from each other about how to do that. One concrete example I would give is, you know, Sabbath observance, something ostensibly that both Jews and Christians do. In my limited and admittedly anecdotal experience, you know, Jewish communities do it better. You know, they really are observing the Sabbath. Christians tend to go to church and then, you know, go to the shopping mall or go play soccer or what have you.
Yeah.
So in very specific kind of practices, I think we have a lot to learn from Jewish communities.
Yeah, I like the way you describe a visit to Baltimore and to visit a couple of Jews who have become followers of Jesus, and they say, oh, I get it. You're trying to figure out how to put your life back together again.
Right.
And that's very much a part of your journey, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, in a certain way, that is what I see the book as being about.
Your Jewish friends, I mean, you've got Randy, you've got Aaron, who makes this comment, a Jew who sins is still a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Benjamin. These are profound friendships.
Mm-hmm.
How are they relating to your new pilgrimage?
Well, I think among my Jewish friends, there have been lots of different responses. Sort of at one extreme, there was a family in New York that I was very, very close to, an Orthodox Jewish family, who basically adopted me when I was in college. I spent holidays all at their house and so forth, and I'm just not in contact with them. I spoke to one of the members of that family once, and he said, you know, it's just too painful for us. This felt like a great betrayal, and we can't.
Yeah.
At the other extreme, some of my Jewish friends, including my college roommate, have just all but bent over backwards to kind of understand what's happened and have been far more generous and just loving than I ever imagined they might be. And then sort of in the middle is the fact that, you know, a lot of relationships when you're part of a religious community are just defined by the social context in which those relationships thrive, sort of like, you know, like you might have a good friend at the workplace, and if you quit that job, you just might never see that person again.
Yeah, but there's a whole social dynamic and identification there.
Right, so there are just simply people that I never see because I'm not in the synagogue to see them.
Yeah. Join us for our next podcast with Lauren Winter. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.